Been talking to Brother Lord a little bit. He was there at the house just before service, and we've been exchanging a little conversation. Glad to have you with us tonight. I always appreciate those that come to be with us. Some of them, they come occasionally, and they don't come regular. So when they do come, we appreciate them coming. I really appreciate those that come regular. Appreciate the people that come up from Macon, Georgia. We had a chance to talk with them just a little bit today, and they seem to really got something out of the service this morning. You know, it's important that we get something out of the services. It's real important. If you don't get anything from the services, there's something wrong with you. You must get food if you're going to continue to live. And there's an individual that isn't here tonight, as far as I know, that should be here tonight. And he made a mistake by not being here tonight. You know, this is a strange thing. You might be out of church. You might go do different things. No telling what a person might do. The Lord never noticed it. You know, and then God will draw a line. And then when he draws the line, you're in trouble. Tonight, there's an individual that should have been in church tonight that I don't see. He should have been here tonight. That means that he's in trouble. How severe, I don't know, but it seems to be severe. Should have been here tonight. Folks, we need to walk in the Spirit of God, you know. If I need to be in California, I better not be in Georgia. And if I need to be in Georgia, I better not be found at that time in California. I better move with the Spirit, and I better be wherever he wants me to be. Because if I don't do that, then I give place to Satan. And then Satan comes in, and Satan will literally devour me or the person that does those things. You need to move with God. I want to say again, we're glad to have you here. Appreciate every one of you. Seems as if God's trying to do something tonight. You know, you have carnal-minded people in the audience that really, they don't know God. They're not going to get anything from God. They didn't come to get anything. They just come to church. And, of course, people like that hinder the moving of the Spirit of God. You know, they hinder the moving of the Spirit of God. But then, of course, there are those that are spiritual-minded. And when they come into the house of God, they are working in harmony with the Spirit of God. Jesus sometimes was certain people that he just would not take with him when he wanted certain things to happen. And he would ask others to leave the room. He just politely, not insultingly, but politely, he'd say, I'd appreciate it if you'd leave the room. You know, because God was wanting to do a certain thing, and he knew that the carnal mind was enmity with God. If that particular person of those particular people wasn't spiritual minded, he just asked him to leave the room to where the Spirit of God could work. And I love to see the Lord work. I love to come to church and see the moving of the Spirit. We're so carnal minded as people that we never come to church as a rule expecting anything from God or expecting the Spirit to move, or come to church in such a way as to move into the anointing and Spirit of God to give him a chance to do anything. So as a routine, we go through service. But the Bible said when you come together, have a song, have a doctrine, have a tongue, have a revelation. Let all things be done in order. Let the Spirit have a chance to do something when you come to church. I know there's something going on. I can tell there's something going on. I can tell when there's something going on in the Spirit. I can tell. He makes me to know just as clear as if it was the sun that just peeped over the horizon and I saw it as you come up. And there's something going on. There's something he's saying, something he's wanting to do. And of course, a lot of times I try to keep from getting trouble at times like that, because times like that are very unusual. Sometimes it means he's wanting to do something in the audience. Sometimes he's wanting to heal somebody that's been sick for a long time. Sometimes he's wanting to deliver somebody maybe from a tormenting spirit that they've been aggravated with for a long time. Sometimes it's a special move of revelation Or sometimes it has to do with a person that's fixing to die and leave the audience, fixing to move on out. And of course with us, you know, it's just like me. I'm up here and I feel okay. And you're out there and you feel okay, you know. But that has nothing to do with it. God knows when things are going to happen. And of course it always troubles me, because a lot of times it could be a young girl that something's fixing to happen to. Or it can be a young boy. I have had this to happen a number of times when I'd speak to the audience, or somebody in the audience at a certain place or whatever, and it would be the death of a young man or death of a young woman or whatever, you know. And it could be something altogether different. There's one thing about it. Paul speaks of the Spirit speaking expressly, and if we are careful and we listen real good, we can hear it and we can tell. I do know this one thing. I know that we're moving into the summer season, and this is the hot season. This is a season when people usually die. Usually every summer there's numbers of people die because of the severeness of the heat. Has it seemed to have been that way for a number of years now? And you just never know. I do know one thing. Church is a place to where we come to learn and to understand. And that's His house. That is God's house, the ground and pillar of the truth. That's the great, wonderful place. It's not some place where we just come into, you know, as routine and say another service and so what and half listen and whatever. It's not like that. You come to church to find out what's going on. And if you don't have enough desire to listen or pay attention, usually you're the one that something's going to happen to. Because usually Satan uses people like that, or take advantage of people's minds that is fixing to be destroyed. He sees the trap coming, and he usually just keeps them kind of idling and keeps their minds scattered so that he can bring that death blow while they are out of the reach of God or don't know anything about what's going on. Glad to have Darlene here tonight. I didn't know she, I knew she was here this morning. I saw her, but I'd forgotten that she was here. But we're glad to have Sister Darlene back in service with us. I think she had to go back off to the Carolinas and has just come back. But we're thankful to have you here with us. Want to walk in the Spirit. Want to do something for Jesus. Want to love the Lord with all of our heart. Nothing better than to be a Christian and to love the Lord with all of your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful name, Jesus. Glory to your wonderful name, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting, my Father, believing in the Son of God, believing in the wonderful Word of God, believing in the great, wonderful moving of the Spirit, believing in that great power, hallelujah, that comes down from heaven. Lord, lead us and guide us. Teach us, speak to us. Reveal yourself to us, Father. Be in the midst of us in all of your genuinity and your reality, Father. Have your way in our heart and in our lives tonight. Make us to be full of the glory of God and full of the strength of God. Father, to be with us and to help us. Lord, we do magnify your lovely name. We do give praise to your lovely name. Ask you to cleanse us and purge us and purify us, that we may be a vessel unto honor. For we do give you all of our heart. We do seek you with all of our heart, Father. Without reservation of heart, or without anything within our spirits or minds drawing back. Lord, we're all together thine. Lord, we give ourselves wholly unto you, day by day, that we may please you. Be with us, therefore, and help us. Make us to know your will. Make us to know your word. And if you do that, Father, all things will be right. All things will be pleasing. And our pleasure, O God, is to do thy will. To do thy will, O God, came we into the world. To bear witness of the truth is our delight. So we ask in Jesus' name, Father, that you heal tonight. God, that you forgive tonight. That wherever there's danger, wherever there's problems, whether it be in our lives or in our people and our loved ones, thou art able to make all things right. Heavenly Father, have your way, O God. Have your way to lead us, to guide us, to deliver us, to help us, precious Father, in every way according to your goodness. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. You can be seated. We're here for a reason tonight. And that reason is to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what we're here for. It's to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. I don't know why you came tonight, but that's our reason for being here. And even though it's hot, it really doesn't bother me. I don't know just exactly why that is, but hot weather don't bother me, and cold weather don't bother me, and weather just don't bother me. If it's cold, I might get a little chilly, and sometimes get a little chill. But in a little while, I shake that off, and I adjust to the weather. And I guess it's because Betty and I have moved around so much. We go everywhere to all kind of climates, and I just adjust to the climate. Up here, it's hot. It's hot. It's plenty hot up here. But I'm perspiring. That means I just opened the windows and everything's fine. You know, you start perspiring, you just cool off. And I think one of the problems that we have in general is that people like convenience too much. And the reason I say that is especially people of America. The reason I say that is because I notice in the foreign countries where we travel, they don't have a problem with the weather like that. It don't seem to affect them. You know, whether it's hot, whether it's cold, or whatever. I went to Alaska, and it was cold, cold, cold. Stepped out the door, and it was so far below zero, I never remember being in that kind of cold. But the people was just as happy and jolly, and they was going about carrying on their business, just riding, just as busy as bees everywhere, just like the sun was shining. I go down into South America and some of the other places, and it's hot, hot, hot. But people just as busy as bees going right on. They don't pay any attention to it. But many of those people have never been exposed to the conveniences that the American people has been exposed to. I heard years ago that it was said that America has more new inventions, more new things to be offered to them than any other nation in the world, and said that they are the most disgusted, miserable people out of all the nations. And it does seem to be true that American people can't stand inconvenience. But as I said, it just don't seem to bother me that much. I'm standing up here perspiring, and I think, well, what about it? Talk about Jesus. Let's have a good time in the Lord. What's the difference? Whether I'm cold, you know, getting a little chilly, or whether I'm perspiring, as long as I'm happy, I'm strong, I'm healthy, I'm ready to go. And why not enjoy the Lord Jesus? Why not have a good time in the Lord? Ain't you strong and healthy and happy and ready to go? Ain't serving God joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost? And don't you have the Holy Ghost? Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. I feel good. Don't you feel good, Brother Pike? Brother Walker sings that song, I feel good, good, good. You know how I feel good? Because Jesus is good and I got God. That makes me feel good. So, feeling good, I love to talk about Jesus. I've read this before, but I'd like to read a little of it again. Now, you know, when I come up here, I have one desire, And that desire is to do the will of God and to get into the spiritual mind of God or the revelation of the Son of God. That is my desire. I have that desire. And so I love to come up here to talk about Jesus. If I perceive that the audience is anyways at all spiritual or interested in something spiritual, then I love to come up here. I know that we can get our mind on the flesh when it's not too hot and it's not too cold. Then everything is convenient for people just to lust and eat and drink and frolic, so they don't have time for God. When it's too cold, they're just so miserable they can't stand it, so they don't have any time for God. When it gets too hot, it's just so hot they can't stand it, they don't have any time for God. But have you ever noticed that in all of those seasons, cold, hot, or whenever, that they can just seemingly drink and eat and sleep and frolic and go? It just works in so good somehow or another. If they have to sit at a ball game and take hot tea with them and sip on it, you know, out in the cold, somehow they manage. And it just seems to be that there's something about it that they just manage so well when it's something for the flesh. But when it's something for God, they are just so uncomfortable, they're so miserable, they can't stand it, it's just horrible. They don't see why God would put them through a thing like that, you know, it's just horrible. So I summed it all up one day and I said, what it is, it's the devil. So I quit letting it bother me. I just stopped letting it bother me. I said, that's the devil, and the Bible said, don't give place to the devil. So I just broke fellowship with him altogether about that. And of course, when you do that, you're comfortable. I'm comfortable tonight. Somebody said, well, I don't see how you could be, Brother Pike, so help me God. I'm not lying, I'm telling you the truth. I'm comfortable. You know, a lot of people like to think that Brother Pike exaggerates because I talk about the joy of the Lord and feeling good in God and having these things like being comfortable tonight. Somebody says, away with that with all this heat. So help me God, I'm comfortable. The Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. And I'd be the biggest fool of all fools to stand up here and lie when my whole life and future depends on me telling the truth. And especially to stand up here and try to tell you about the words of truth and lie. So then I'm comfortable, and I praise God for it. So that means that the reason that you're not comfortable, it's all in your mind. I said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike, that can't be. I challenge you to get in the mind of Christ and see if you ain't comfortable. People get hungry and they get uncomfortable. Moses stayed on the mountain for 40 days and didn't have any food, didn't have any water. Went back for another 40 and didn't have any water or food, and he was comfortable. He was comfortable. You serve God with the mind. See, the devil harasses your mind. He gets in your mind, he says, boy, this is it tonight. This is it tonight. Yeah, the preacher's getting ready and this is it. It's hot. You know? And the devil knows that if he tears up your mind like that, you're not going to get anything. But when you get in the mind of God and you say, praise God. To be contented in whatsoever state you find yourself, and this state of heat ain't going to bother me. And you know, it's just like the Lord turns a fan on you. And all of a sudden you become calm, restful. You know what's making you hot and perspire and getting you all upset? Is shifting and being uncomfortable and like riding a bicycle in the hot sun. But if you just relax, get in the frame of mind. Isn't that right? Like a fellow said in prison one time, he was in prison, had a long time to serve. And he said he made it after all those years he got out. He said, the way I made it, he said, though I was in the prison cell behind the bars, I would look out the window. And I kept my mind out there where the freedom was. See, and that's the way to do it. If you're in a hot place, think about Alaska. Now, you don't have to do it like that, do you? You just think about Jesus and everything will be fine. Hallelujah. If you're down here in this world where everybody's in prison and controlled by devils, you just put your mind in heaven. Let your conversation be in heaven and everything will be fine. Chapter 7, the first verse. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." I'd like to just think on those things for just a few minutes. You know, when it says, "And the glory of the Lord filled the house," the Old Testament house of God that Solomon built was symbolic of a spiritual house that was to be built in the future. Here David had gathered together much gold and silver and things that was of great value. He kept gathering it together. He would fight. He would win a war. He would take over that country. And he would get the gold and silver that God placed in his hands, that God told him to take. And he gathered this together to build God a house. But one day God said to David, David, you can't build me a house. Though it was David's desire to build a house, he said, "You can't build me a house, David." He said, "Because you have too much blood on your hand." You know, this is the problem today of why a lot of people can't build the house of God. They've got too much blood on their hand. See, we're commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the Bible said, if you see the sword coming and you don't warn the people, then I'll require the blood at your hand. And a lot of times we gossip and we backbite and we find fault and we do things that gets us into such a condition that we find that we have blood on our hands. We didn't walk upright with God. And we kill people, carelessly run people down, like drunken drivers of today. Carelessly run people down, and then there is a penalty to pay. Years ago, you could get out and you could get to drinking and you could run a man or woman down, run over a little child. They didn't put you in prison. A lot of times you didn't even have to go to jail. It was declared an accident on many occasions and nobody worried about it. See, God did that because everything in the natural is typical of something spiritual. And so God did that because it was a day where people was unlearned. People being unlearned, then God did not require many things of the people. See, go into an area you don't know the law and then you do something that's worthy of punishment, and nothing is done about it because they're lenient in that you are a stranger and you don't know. But if you abide as a citizen in that place for a certain period of time, then you do something wrong and it is required of you. So God, knowing that we did not know, as we would say, he did not require it. But where there is a knowledge of right and wrong, God requires it. Today, you can't drive a car and have a wreck and kill somebody without getting in trouble. If you get careless, if you get drunk, you can go to the electric chair for that. They can get you for manslaughter, just like you took a rifle and shot somebody or killed somebody. See, it means that we're living in a different time now. This is a different spiritual age. You can't be careless and run down the road, just running off at the mouth, as somebody says, or gossiping and backbiting and not taking any thought as to what you're saying and what you're doing, just being wild and gossiping, doing the things that's displeasing to God. You can't do that anymore. See, you can't go down the road drunk off of the cares of life, just going here and there, and you're not praying, you're not fasting, you're not seeking God. You're not doing anything at all to try to develop your life or to understand your way of life or to stabilize yourself in the right way. You're not taking precautions and observing the signs and warnings of God, of the man of God, of the Word of God. so that you can stay on your side. You're careless, you're drunk off of the cares of life, bobbling to and fro on the other man's side, meeting him head on. So you can't do that anymore. God will get you. God requires now that you know. He requires that you do. So then you can't just go haphazardly down the road like a bunch of the dope heads of today, the dope addicts. I know that they seem to be getting by with it. The reason for that, God has allowed grace because of the immaturity of some of the youth. But more and more they're learning, and more they're understanding, and more God's requiring it of them. And God has been merciful, that is, to the youth, for this reason. The Bible says that the parents have eaten sour grapes. Therefore, the children's teeth are on edges. God has been merciful to the children because the parents is responsible for the irreverence and the attitude that they have. So the parents are responsible. So God is merciful. God is expecting us to straighten up our lives. He's expecting us to do right. He's expecting us to come to the full knowledge and the full understanding of His Word. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit. He doesn't want us to have a partial reward. I say this a lot of times. The Bible said, let us go on unto perfection. Don't turn again to lay the foundation of repentance, of dead works and dead faith toward God. Don't spend your life and your days just having dead faith and dead works toward God. Don't do that. Let us go on with God. Let us go on to understand. Let us go on to do something for God. Let us go on to be perfect, to be therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. Let us go on to do these great and mighty things that God has in store for us. So, in doing this, we are filled with the Spirit of God. And this is what God is saying in the book of here concerning Solomon. David had too much blood on his hand. He couldn't build the house because he didn't have that perfection that he needed, considering the fact that he'd had so much war. But then when Solomon came, Solomon was a man of peace. He wasn't a man of war. He was a man of peace. See, Jesus came. Jesus did not build the house of God. He gathered the material for building the house of God. He gave His life. He was made sin. He was the atonement. He made the way to build the house of God. But then God, through Jesus, by Christ, has placed Christ within our heart. And Paul said, I'm a great master builder because Christ is in my heart. It's not me living, but it's Christ. Therefore, he said, I'm a great master builder. And the Christ has come to build the house. He has entered into our heart. He is a God of peace. Jesus had to make war. He made war with the enemy. He had to fight the enemy. He represented David. And though it was the house of David, yet Jesus represented the fall of the house of David. In that he was made sin, and God rejected Jesus to the extent that he smote Jesus in my behalf. And he that knew no sin was made sin that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So then, the apostles, when they gathered together at Pentecost, they got a revelation, and they got into the Spirit, and they began to have a good time because they were looking beyond the veil. And one of them, he stands up in the council of the congregation and he says, brethren, this agrees with what the prophets have said. For I will return in the last days, saith God, and I will build up the fallen down house of David. I will return, saith the Lord, in the latter times, in the last days. I will return, saith the Lord, and I will build up the fallen down house of David. Think about that now. And this agrees with what the prophets have said. I will return, saith the Lord. I'll come back, saith the Lord. I will, in the latter times, build up the fallen down house of David. This agrees with what the prophets said. We're in the last time. The apostle said, this is the last days. So then it says, when Solomon had built the house, God said, you build the house and I'll take pleasure in it. So then when Solomon had built the house, once the house was built, God took pleasure in it. And when the sacrifice was made, the great, wonderful Spirit of God moved into that building. The glory of God came into that building. And the Bible said, and the train of the Lord filled the temple. The glory of God moved in. That's what we need, folks, is the glory of God. See, that is to say, when Christ resurrected from the dead, all of a sudden God was doing something and the Holy Spirit came back from heaven. And there was a move at Pentecost. And the Spirit of God began to move into the human temple. This is the temple of God. The Bible said, the man that defileth it, him shall God destroy. Being the temple of God, we must purge it. We must purify it. We must keep it clean and holy. And so then the apostles getting a revelation. They said, brethren, don't you see what's happening? We're the lively stones that's built up into a holy priesthood, a tabernacle, a house for God, a place of praise. We are the lively stones. This is what the prophet was trying to tell us. But I'll come as the Holy Spirit in the last days. I'll build up the fallen down house of David. I'll open a fountain in the house of David. I'll let the Spirit of God come into the heart, into the house. Once you build the house, once you're born again, once you come into my presence, once you sanctify your house on the inside, I'll build it up. Then as the Holy Spirit, I'll move into the temple and the glory of God shall fill your temple. We sang that song, God put a rainbow in my cloud. I'll come in. I'm at the heart's door and I'm knocking. If you'll open the door of your heart, I will come in and I will sup with you and you can sup with me. So then this agrees with what the prophets have said. For I will return in the latter times, saith God. I'll come back in the last days and I'll gather the stones together. When they got ready to build the house of Solomon, they had to gather it from all over the different parts of the nation, of the world. Somebody was building a part of it over here. Somebody was hewing out a part of it over here. There couldn't be a hammer, the sound of a hammer heard as the house went together. God is the dove. God is the Spirit of peace. Everything had to perfectly fit together. It had to be something that they would do with their hands of putting it together. It had to come together. They had to put it together and fasten it together. If there was going to do any hewing, any chopping, any nailing, any beating, they had to do it over here in another place. They had to get it all ready. Chop, beat, bang. And then when time for the erection to come, there couldn't be any war. There couldn't be any abusing. There couldn't be any fighting and fussing. There can't be any sharp cutting with the words, as we said. There can't be any backbiting. There can't be any of these things. God is the God of peace. And God is calling His people together. He's the God of peace. And all of His paths are the paths of peace. All of the ways of God are the ways of peace. And the Bible says that he that keepeth his mind stayed upon Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. So then it's a house of peace. God is bringing the lively stones together. Like Joseph was telling me last night, over about 11 or 12 o'clock, Joseph said, some people just tear me up, Brother Pike. He said he don't like to be around certain people. He didn't name them, but he said, they just tear me up. They make me nervous. They get me tore up, Joseph said. And that's true because some people will do that. See, the reason is because those people are not oriented in the things of God. Those people don't have the spirit of peace. The Bible said when you perceive that there's no understanding in a man, to get away from him. I have people that come around me. All I've got to do is see them coming and they trouble me. They can get around me and they trouble me. It's little wonder that they trouble their wife, or they trouble their husband, or that they trouble the people that they are around. They have a spirit, a protruding spirit that always wants to say something and they don't know what they're saying. They have an ambition, always wanting to talk, always wanting to do something. And a lot of it means nothing. It's pointing to themselves and they're magnifying themselves and they're trying to tell you who they are. And they don't say anything to glorify God. And they don't say anything about Christ and the things of God. It's always talking about their job, talking about their business, talking about money, talking about each other, gossiping, backbiting, telling you about their childhood, or telling you about something that ain't worth 15 cents. And you sit there and listen and listen and listen until you just get wore out with it. Or they've got an old devil spirit on them. They got the kind of spirit, you know, that when they get in your presence, you can just feel resentment and you can feel jealousy and you can feel haughtiness and you can feel contrariness, and nothing that they have blends in with what you've got. So you get troubled about it. So you withdraw. But the Bible said that the gospel is sown in peace of them that make peace. We are the children of peace. Other people you can get around and you just feel so good. You feel restful. You feel like everything's just all right. You just feel real good, you know. And what they say edifies, and they're not just pressured all the time and just restless like the waves of the sea. Their mind's not all fuddled up, but they're in a condition of peace. And a lot of times, even though they may have great conflict in their body, they still are people of rest. They're people of contentment when it comes to their spirit. See, and this makes you feel good. God unites one peaceful member to another peaceful member. And God, by the wisdom of His Word, through the teaching of the revelation of Paul, as the wise master builder, He builds up the fallen down house of David. He builds up the lively stones. He brings them together so that the glory of God can fill that house. And this is what they did at Pentecost. When the Spirit of God returned as a mighty rushing wind, there He filled all of the house, the Bible says. They were in the upper room, not the supper room, but the upper room. The devil savors the things that be of the flesh. So he says, let's have a dinner. Let's get some peanut brittle. Or let's get in the supper room and let's have a supper tonight. But God says it's so much the better if you'll do a little fasting and leave off with the supper room and get in the upper room tonight. And do a little talking with God until you're filled with the Spirit and presence of Christ. So it's so wonderful to know that when we build the house, that God will take pleasure in the house. And God will fill the house with His glory. If I want to be filled with the glory of God, then I must build the house. You say, what must I do, Brother Pike? Building the house takes a little labor. Building the house takes a little work. Like I was talking to my companion today, it takes effort. And did you know? Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. Did you know it's a travail to be able to get Christ to form in your heart? It is a travail to try to form Christ in your life. Because some are rebellious, some are contrary, some want to backbite, some want to find fault, some are melancholy, some blames everybody with their problems. So it is a great travail to be able to form Christ in one's heart. And then after you form Christ in the heart, it is still a great labor to bring forth that child under the image of God. It takes great labor to bring forth that child. God is bringing forth the man child, we sing the song. And then when the child has been brought forth, it takes great patience. You have to be patient. You have to have a mother's love. You have to have a mother's concern. You know, we got a lot of women in the world today, but we don't have very many mothers. A lot of men in the world today, but we don't have very many fathers. Got a lot of brute beasts, both man and woman. So then, it takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of concern. You have to work with that little child. You have to spank it sometimes. You have to love it sometimes. You have to change its diaper sometimes. People, they get out of sauce, and especially little ones in Christ. Somebody gets their system all tore up. And everything that they eat, everything that the preacher gives them, it just tears their system up because of the careless mother that calls herself the church. So then it takes very careful consideration. It takes a determination. It takes the love of a mother. The Bible speaks of New Jerusalem, the mother of us all. And the Bible speaks of mothers in Israel. And God says, he that is a Jew inwardly is the true Israel of God. And the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord be upon the true Israel of God. We're God's true Israel. We're God's spiritual Israel. Now don't let somebody go out here and try to tell you, you know, there's some kind of wild teaching about we're the Israel of God and they're going to prove to you that we're the Israel of God so far as a natural person. That's not true. We are a spiritual person and we are the true Israel of God. Brother, let me tell you something. If you are the natural Israel of God, if you are the physical Israel of God, you're in for trouble because they're going through the tribulation period. So don't try to prove that. You just stay away from that. We are a true Jew. The Bible said, he that is a Jew outwardly is not a Jew, but he that is a Jew inwardly. But we are the spiritual house of God. See, and there are mothers in Israel. There are fathers. Paul said, I've begotten you as a father in the gospel. So then it takes patience. It's hot here tonight. It's uncomfortable here tonight. But it takes a patient mother. It takes someone that is concerned. It takes the real church that will stay here and work with the children and stay with the children. I've seen my wife get up in the middle of the night, a real mother. My wife is a real mother. She's raised her children now. But she was a real, genuine mother. No make-believe, no makeshift thing. A real, genuine mother. I mean all of her life. And I've seen her get up in the middle of the night when the children would whine. And she would get to them and she would see about them. The Bible speaks of a virtuous woman. It says her price is far beyond that of rubies. The church is supposed to be a virgin, a virtuous woman. It's supposed to be somebody that doesn't go out there and dabble in the ball games and the television shows and all of the other things on the side. It's supposed to be a real, genuine person in Christ that isn't interested in their face and their figures and their bodies and the things of the world, folks. It's supposed to be clean and holy and upright. That's what you're supposed to be. You mothers, you're supposed to be real mothers. You're supposed to be concerned about that daughter and that son and where they're at and what they're doing. You're supposed to be concerned about that little one instead of leaving him with a babysitter while you go off and frolic and fill your belly with eating and drinking. All down through the years, where I went, my children went. When we travel overseas, my children went. Down there in Egypt, when they got ready to leave, Pharaoh said, leave the wife and children. God said, they'll go too. Moses said, when we leave, our children will go with us. Our cattle will go with us. Our wives will go with us. Our children will go with us. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, it takes so much money for me to have to make the trip. Don't lie against the truth. God who feeds every species in the ocean, God who feeds every bird every day, God who feeds all the animals that's roaming across the earth, God that feeds the millions of people, billions of people, I feel reasonably sure that he can afford enough for you and your little few when he has commissioned you to go somewhere. God has always provided. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, when I go, God provides for me. But see, what if I had my family? What would they do? The same God that provides for you would provide for them. The only reason he doesn't provide for them is because you don't have them with you. If you'll stop and think back, God has provided for you and then provide for them back home if they stay home. Have you understand what I'm saying? See a true mother, a righteous kind of person, a person that will listen to God, whether in the ministry, whatever it might be. Do it God's way. Honor God's word. And so then, as I said, as my wife, she was a good mother. I've seen her get up in the middle of the night, and I recall one time that I heard something moving around, and I could tell that the children had got disturbed over something, my little ones. And I looked, and I thought, well, who's moving around? And I looked, and it was my wife. And I heard something go wham, you know, and I thought, my God, what has happened? And I jumped up, and when I did, my wife had fell flat on her face. She passed out. She was trying to watch after her little ones. And while she was trying to watch after her little ones, she herself passed out. See, this is what I'm speaking of. It takes a little endurance. It takes a little concern. It takes a little sweat. It takes a little bit of effort to be the real house of God, to be the real church, to be the real mother. And unless we're like that, the glory of God will never fill our house. Unless we can get away from our backbiting, it will never fill this house. So then, what must I do? I must build this house. How do I build this house? Sometimes we have to stop chewing on cud. We have to stop dipping snuff. We have to stop smoking. A lot of those things. As I said this morning, someone would say, well, I don't see where that's wrong, Brother Pike. I don't see anything wrong with it. I do, because the Bible said, follow in my steps. And he didn't do those kind of things. And the Bible said, he's our example, and he didn't do those kind of things. That means it must be the nature of the devil that causes you to hunger and thirst after those kind of things. When you hunger after TV and ball games and things that are non-virtuous, it is the spirit of the devil, because God's spirit doesn't do that. Christ is spirit, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of spirit did he have? He was about his father's business. So then I must be about my father's business. I don't have time to backbite, time to gossip. I don't have time to play ball. I don't have time to go out here and do these other things. I've got a job to do. I must be about my father's business. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're not dead, folks. So then, I must be about my father's business. I must do those things that pertain unto righteousness. See, it takes an effort, folks. It takes an effort. It took an effort to build these buildings. It took an effort to do the things that we've had to do. Right now, some of them are helping put the motor in. Though I paid for the motor to be put in the bus, I paid for the man to do it. But nevertheless, some of our brethren are up there giving a helping hand to expedite the cause. See, it takes travail. It takes effort in trying to do those things. Sometimes a dad, he has to be out in the cold. I've said this before, and I never will forget it, I don't guess. My dad was a working man. I mean, he was a great man. I don't even have measure up to him. But it takes labor. My dad was trying to make a living. I was out there with him after I'd already married. And we was working on a fence around a big ranch. And it was cold. Folks, it was cold. I mean, it was so cold that I was freezing to death, I thought. I just didn't see how in the world you could stay out in it. And I was trying to paint in that. And I thought, this is crazy. I'm freezing to death. Trying to put paint on a fence. I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll quit. I ain't doing nothing like this. I done worked and worked and worked. And the longer I worked, the colder I got. And the colder I got, the more foolish I realized I was, or I thought I did. And I thought, I'm going to quit. So I just took my brush and I walked over to where my dad was. And before I could say anything, I saw my little dad standing there. Just a painting. Cold and just a painting. Not grumbling, not saying nothing. Looked up at me, you know, and it's just pleasant. Oh my God. Lord, how in the world can I say anything to anybody like that? I thought, Lord, do something for me. Help me. Do something for me. Make a man out of me. My dad's a man. Make a man out of me, God. I turned around and I walked off and I took courage. You know, and I finished the job and I quit like a man. You know, it's a lot of times that we see somebody else, and this is important, folks. It's important for you women to be like the women of the frontier. Some of those women were so courageous. They were so great, so mighty. They were women that stood for something. I mean, you couldn't just push them around. They stood for something. You know, you didn't just push Christ around. Some people get the idea that Christ was just a wishy-washy, push around, do any old way, you know. But Christ wasn't like that. When Christ went into the temple and he found things wasn't right, the Bible said he took a whip and he drove them out of the temple. And he turned them tables over as if to say, get out of here. This is my Father's house. Of all nations, it's supposed to be called the house of prayer. And you've made it a den of thieves. Get out of here. And he turned the tables over. See, you didn't just push Christ around any old way. He wasn't ugly. He wasn't mean. But the Bible said he got angry because of the hardness of their heart. And because they wouldn't listen at him. And brethren, he drove them out. You've got to have a backbone. You've got to stand up for something. Somebody comes up with their old evil way. I guess you belong to that bunch of holy rollers out yonder. Them Bethlehemites. Say, glory to God, I'm not a holy roller. I'm a godly person and I belong to God. And I am a Christian and I go to church at Bethlehem. And what you need to do is get your dirty, filthy ways cleaned up. And you can come out there and be one of us. Somebody said, you can't talk like that, Brother Pike. Well, I am doing it. I have done it. You can do it. There's people that do it. You need to use all the wisdom that you can. Not be arrogant. But you don't need to be some little old sissy kind of a person. That's weak-kneed. That don't have any backbone. That won't stand up for something. When your mother and daddy starts criticizing the things of God. Say, wait a minute, mother. You're talking about my Savior. You're talking about one that's 10 times 10 what you are, Mom. Dad, you've never done for me what Christ done for me. And when the daughter starts spewing out of the mouth and the son, Junior starts acting up with his silliness and his foolishness. So let me tell you something, young fella. If you can't serve my God, then I'm not your parent. I had my sons one time laying in the bed. They looked at me so funny. They started saying some things that was unbecoming, and I didn't like it at all. And childlike, they started saying things concerning God and concerning God's people. I said, wait just a minute. I said, shut your mouth. I said, you're talking about my people, and you're talking about my brothers and sisters. I said, and of course, that's our mother, New Jerusalem. I said, and you're talking about my God, the one that loved me, the one that died for me. I said, let me tell you something. I said, if my people are not good enough for you, and if my God isn't good enough for you, I said, don't consider me to be your dad anymore. I said, from here on out, I'm not your father. I said, I have nothing to do with you whatsoever. And I mean, they were literally flabbergasted. They didn't know what to say. They looked up at me as if to say, my God, what have I done? But did you know they took warning to that? They took heed to that because I meant that thing. Did you know that the Jews loved God enough as to what their conviction was that if their son or daughter left the things of God, they were automatically cut off and alienated from the things of God. They were automatically put out. They had a funeral. They would take a casket and set it out there. And they would have the funeral of their son. And as far as they was concerned, they were forever dead. Folks, that's the way it's supposed to be. God said, Abraham, take your son, your only son. Take him up on that mountain up there and offer him up as a sacrifice before God. And Abraham didn't ask no questions. Abraham didn't try to get away from it. He just walked boldly and bravely over that mountain and took that boy and went up there and laid him down and reached and got the knife and was fixing to kill him right there. That's why God called him faithful Abraham, the friend of God. See, let's don't be a bunch of weak-kneed people that don't have a backbone. Let's don't be a haughty, contrary people that want to hurt people. Let's don't lamb-blast and tear down. Folks, let's love each other. Let's do what Christ tells us to do. But at the same time, let's have a backbone that the mouth of those that are out there might be closed. The mouth of the gainsayers. They came to Jesus and they said, "Oh, good master." Jesus had a backbone. I mean, he really stood up for the right thing. They said, "Oh, good master." Jesus said, "Thou hypocrite, will you come over here to tempt me for?" Said Pharisees and scribes, said, "You hypocrites." Pharisees and scribes, "You hypocrites." Pharisees and scribes, "You hypocrites." I noticed that in one place where he preached the sermon, at least 5 to 7 times, he said, "You hypocrites." I noticed when Jude and James and some of the others was preaching. I noticed in some of their preaching over there, he said, "And you ungodly people with your ungodly ways do these ungodly things in your ungodly manner," and on and on and on. He said, "Ungodly, ungodly, ungodly, ungodly." I mean, he brought it right down to the line. Folks, that's what we need. Somebody said, "Well, I can't do that, Brother Pike, because my wife, she likes the soap operas. And it would cause dissension, and I'm trying to use wisdom." And somebody else says, "My wife, she loves to watch television. I wouldn't have that thing in my house." But you know how it is, Brother Pike, the wife. But a lot of times the wife has to push the husband out from under to get him to eat his supper. And somebody says, "Well, Brother Pike, you know, we believe in certain kind of religion, and our forefathers and our grandmothers, and we believe in college, and we believe in football, and you know how it is, Brother Pike." Jesus says, "You hypocrite. You hypocrite. Let me tell you, there ain't but one way, folks. That's God's way. Whatever it is that is unlike Christ, it doesn't matter if it's my grandmother or my father or whoever it might be. Whatever it is that's unlike God, I want it out of my life. I don't want any part of it. I'm not going to have any part of it. I think that I love my wife probably better than anything in the world as far as I know. And I truly love her because she's a real wife. But folks, let me tell you, if she doesn't have time for the God that I serve, I don't have any time for her. And I say this in the presence of you and in her presence. If I'm the kind of person that doesn't love her God, even Christ, then she'd be a foolish woman to love me and to live with me. The one thing that is first is God. He is first. Let's come together. Let's stand for one another. Let's stand for God. You're not to go out to try to defend Bethlehem. You're to go out to try to defend the truth. You that are sitting here tonight, but hear my voice. When you get in the presence of somebody, you know that they're trying to tear down something that's of God. And you know that they're trying to criticize something that's right. You stand up like a real man or woman. Don't be haughty, but stand up and look at them and say, "Look, folks, don't come here with your foolishness to me. I'm not a garbage can. My ear is not a garbage can. If you've got something you want to dump, the dumpster's over yonder. Or the garbage field is over yonder. Or give it to the garbage man when he comes by. I'm not in the garbage business." Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." So then, this is what I believe. This is what God was talking about, building up the fallen down house of David. Letting the glory of God come into your life, folks. Having Christ to come in. Letting God come in. And let God bless you with that health and that happiness and that strength. And let God bless you with that knowledge, that glorious understanding, that determination. And the Bible said, "It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth." Let God give you that wealth. Ah, it's so wonderful to be a Christian. And the Bible said, "In the glory of God filled the house." I must labor. What must I do? I must sometimes do a little manipulating. I've got to change a few things around in my life. I've got to cut a few things off from my life. I've got to add a few things. When you're carpentering, you've got to add a few things. You've got to take away a few things. See, you've got to build the house of God. That isn't so bad in here after all, is it? I said, "But Brother Pike, I'm so hot." "Well, you ain't even moving around out there, Harley. And I'm up here moving around and I ain't hot. I'm comfortable." You know why? Because I got my mind on Jesus. You know why Moses was comfortable? He had his mind on God. You know, those people down in the valley, they wasn't comfortable. I guess you know that. They wasn't comfortable, was they? They hollered and shouted and danced and they thought they were comfortable. But when Moses come down off of that mountain, they found out what inconvenience was. So then, people, let's be a great people. Let's build the fallen down house of David. That is, let's build the house of God of lively stones. Go out there and witness to somebody. And go out there and do something for somebody. Don't sit around and die. Get up and do something. Pass out a tract. You know, this really bothers me. I've got people here. Though we've got hundreds and thousands of pieces of literature, there's people here that hardly ever give anybody a tract. They never get out and witness to anybody. And some of them that do get out to go, they don't pass out any literature. I really do anything for God. It's just a foolish, childish, restless ambition that they want to go over the hill to some other place and talk to somebody else about what they are and who they are and what God told them to do. That's the most childish thing I know of. Always wanting to go somewhere to tell somebody what God told you, to the extent that you tell them that God told you what a great person you was because you come to tell them. But if we pass out a little literature, if we testify of Christ, if we get out and do something for God, how happy we'd be. How we'd be blessed physically, spiritually, financially. What a great time we would have in the Lord. No wonder salvation's not exciting to you. You don't do anything. You spend all your time in the world. The glory of God can't fill your house like that. But brother and sister, when you get to where you testify of God, then the glory of God will fill your temple. And I'll tell you what, you'll be comfortable and you'll be excited and you'll want to do something for God and you'll be filled with that glory of God that makes your cup run over. Hallelujah. I get enthused. I get excited because the Spirit of God, I feel it. I feel the communication. Sometimes it wells up within me in tears. I'll be going down the road. All of a sudden, tears will begin to drift off of my cheeks. I try not to let nobody know it. But I'm so filled with the enthusiasm of God. So filled with the glory of God. So filled with the blessings of God. The excitement of God. And then sometimes it wells up in me to holler, to shout, to scream, you know, to move around a little bit or whatever it might be. Or to pass out literature or to write a track or whatever. Sing a song. But brethren, whatever it is, it's God, it's God, it's God. And if you don't have that, there's something wrong with you. We need to get up and be about our Father's business. Everyone that I preach to, here and abroad, that hears us here on the home front, that hears us in the meetings, the crusades, all that hears us on the radio, the TV, all of them ought to have some literature, a testimony, be doing something for God. Every one of them is supposed to carry the gospel. God gave the word, and great was the multitude of them that published it. That's what Steve is for, and people like him, to run thousands and tens of thousands of pieces of literature so that these hungry hearts and people that are writing can get this literature and go out and evangelize the world and tell them that we've got some glad tidings of great joy. Behold, a Savior is with us. I want you to stand with me. I know it's hot tonight. It's so good to be a Christian. God gives you such a wonderful blessing. I was talking to somebody today about an individual. The individual was fine, doing well. I, along with the brethren, have helped him on many occasions, kept him out of trouble, prayed, and God has worked miracles that there was no possible way other than a miracle for the individual to stay out of trouble. But did you know we warned the individual? And now I understand that he's pulled some kind of a deal, done something that was crazy, unreasonable for a person that knows God. And now then, if they catch up with him, and they will, he'll go to prison probably for a number of years unless God works another miracle. And usually God won't. After the first and second admonition, God will have somebody to admonish you once or twice. After that first and second admonition, then the Bible said reject them because they are heretic. Not that I'm saying this of this boy, there's still something there. But what will it lead to? If he doesn't shape up, if he doesn't do right, what will it lead to? How sad, folks, how sad. You know what caused that? Without a vision, not taking warnings. Smart, nobody can't get me, someone would say. I've got it figured out. I wouldn't do nothing like that. But all of a sudden, surprisingly enough, shockingly enough, all of a sudden, before you realize that you've done some crazy thing, some foolish thing, All of a sudden, you went out and done something that's just unreal altogether, but you did it. And then you think, my God, what caused me to do that? Now I'm in a terrible circumstance. What caused me to do that? Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? God put a rainbow in my heart. Oh, God put a rainbow in my heart. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in my heart. Sing it with me, folks. Oh, let God put a rainbow in your heart. Oh, let God put a rainbow in your heart. When it looks like the sun just won't shine anymore, then let God put a rainbow in your heart. Oh, God put a rainbow in my heart. Oh, God put a rainbow in my heart. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in my heart. Sing it again. Oh, let God put a rainbow in your heart. Oh, let God put a rainbow in your heart. When it looks like the sun just won't shine anymore, oh, let God put a rainbow in your heart. Oh, God put his rainbow in my heart. Yes, God put his rainbow in my heart. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put his rainbow in my heart. Oh, let God put a rainbow in your heart. Oh, let God put a rainbow in your heart. When it looks like the sun just won't shine anymore, oh, put a rainbow in your heart. Say it one more time and we'll stop. Oh, let God put a rainbow in your heart. Oh, let God put a rainbow in your heart. When it looks like the sun won't shine anymore, let him rainbow in your heart. You love the Lord? God put a rainbow in my heart. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in my heart. Let's sing this little chorus. Everything's gonna be all right. Things gonna be all right. Jesus came and saved my soul. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right since God. Things gonna be all right. Oh, let us praise him. Praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him at the noontime break. Him, praise him. Praise him when the sun's going down. You know, sometimes I'll just be around the house or I'll be somewhere else. You know, just be walking around sometimes. Maybe in the kitchen or wherever. I just stop and I say, hallelujah, glory to God. You know, somebody said, boy, I'm so uptight. I got so much tension. All I got to do is say, hallelujah, glory to God. You know, it doesn't matter if you're in the kitchen, if you're in the field, or wherever you're at. Hallelujah, glory to God. Somebody say, something wrong with you? Say, no, I'm just trying to make up for that where them people holler for the bulldogs. Hallelujah, glory to God. I'll do that with you. I believe that. I really believe that. Hallelujah. I think it's time we caught up, don't you? I really think it's time that we caught up. They've done everything but praise God, and I think it's time that God's people begin to shout and holler. And the Bible said 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands said hallelujah, glory to God, and the earth and the heavens and everything beneath the earth begin to cry out until all of the universe begin to ring. Praise God. You love the Lord? Let's sing that one more time. God put that rainbow in my heart. Oh God, put a rainbow in my heart. When it looked like the sun couldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in my heart. Oh, let God put a rainbow in your heart. Oh, let God put a rainbow in your heart. When it looks like the sun just won't shine anymore, then let God put a rainbow in your heart. One more time. Oh, God, put your rainbow in my heart. Oh, God, put your rainbow in my heart. When it looks like the sun won't shine anymore, God, put your rainbow in my heart. Oh, God, put his rainbow in my heart. Sing with me. Oh, God, put his rainbow in my heart. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put his rainbow in my heart. Isn't it wonderful? Nobody wants to go home. Nobody's uncomfortable. Everybody's feeling fine. Isn't that right? If that's right, say amen. Amen. You must be feeling pretty good to clap your hands for Jesus. Isn't that right? One more time and we'll quit. God put that rainbow in my heart. Oh, God put that rainbow in this heart. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put his rainbow in my heart. Oh, let God put the rainbow in your heart. Oh, let God put that rainbow in your heart. When it looks like the sun won't shine anymore, that rainbow in your heart. Praise be unto God. I really do have a rainbow in my heart, and this is my covenant that I make with you. Even as I covenanted with you, we have that covenant of God in our heart. And we don't have to worry, folks. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to his purpose. Don't you love Jesus? Lift your hands up if you love Jesus. Say hallelujah if you love Jesus. Say glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Getting weaker and weaker. Let's get it stronger now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Clap your hands, all ye people. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And enter into the courts with thanksgiving. And into the gates with praise, saying hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And the Bible said, and those beasts around the throne continually said, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, glory to God, praise the Lord. And the Bible said that we don't have all of those things that we want because we don't praise the Lord. God inhabits the praise of his people. and praise is upright, for or comely for the upright. Let's clap our hands and say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Clap your hands, all of you people. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? Praise God. Hi, you say, Brother Pike, what are you doing that for? Roost Babe just knocked a home run. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Clap your hands, all you people. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I'm so hot. I just ain't got no strength. Looks to me like you're doing pretty good. Looks to me like you're doing pretty. You can breathe way down now, can't you? You know, they get out there and they do this and they do this, you know, and they do this, you know. And say, I got that good breath. When you say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and you take your spiritual exercise, you get that eternal breath of life, passing from death into life. And you can breathe way down deep. Isn't God good, folks? Let's sing one or two more choruses, and I'm going to let you go. I know it's hot. I know it's hot. Them devils and demons, you know, they'll say, ooh, it's hot. Ooh, it's hot. But where we're going, it's air conditioned. God loves you. You are great people. I know you don't know that. You know, we slack away and we set back and we just let everything go any old way. We don't press in. We don't get fervent in the Spirit. The Bible said when you pray fervently, God will answer your prayer. For God likes a fervent prayer. You know, you get out and say, oh my God, help me, oh my God. Whew, I've been here 10 minutes. I better go to bed. I'm getting beside myself. I think my feet hurt, and I don't know, I might be losing my mind. I better lay down. Can't stand this nerve pressure no more. The old devil, he makes you like a big old fattening hog. You know, you lay there and snore and snore. You get ready to get up in the morning, you know, and he says, take me to the trough. I'm hungry. I need some breakfast. And then after he gets full, he bubbles in the slop for the rest of the day. Gossiping and backbiting, whatever. But you know something, folks? We don't need to feed with the swine. We don't need to feed with the dogs. We need to get fervent in spirit. We need to be up and about the Father's business. We don't need to make have a make-believe. But I mean real, genuinely serve the Lord and bless the Lord. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget the benefits of God, David said. Bless the Lord, my soul. You know, you ride down the road, as I taught my wife today, coming down the road in a nice air-conditioned Cadillac. I was coming down the road, and that's something for a country boy to ride in a Cadillac. And I was coming down the road in that air-conditioned Cadillac. And Betty had stopped and got me a cold diet Coca-Cola. I turned it up, you know, and I was drinking it and riding down the road in that air-conditioned Cadillac. I told Betty, I said, you know, it's like this, Betty. The Bible said, you eat, you drink, said, and you nourish your soul as under the slaughter. You know, feed yourself as under the slaughter. I said, and that's what the world does. My uncle, my granddaddy, just before we would kill a hog that we lived out in the country, just before we kill that hog, we put him on a floored pen so he couldn't root the fat off. My grandma, she would take the old black pot and she would make chitlins out of some of that, what do you call them? Cracklings out of some of that fat. I never did like chitlins. But anyway, they didn't let none of that fat get away. Use the rest of it for lard, cooking.
You know, and when God gets ready to slaughter, He fattens people up. He fattens them up. He just gives them the desires of their heart. They can eat and drink and be merry, you know, until the dart strikes through the liver. And that hog got big and fat. My uncle would walk up there with his rifle or his axe, depend on how he wanted to do it. I never did favor some of the ways he done it. But he'd get straddled of that hog and he'd bump him one hard lick right there, and his knees would buckle him down. He would kill that deer. Or he'd shoot him right between the eyes and there'd be a grunt or two, and that'd be all there was to it. But I told Betty, I said, Betty, isn't it wonderful that I could ride down the road, turn up the coke, you know, and say, hallelujah, glory to God. Lord, I love you. I appreciate you, Jesus, for quenching this thirst. People in hell will never have their thirst quenched again. And you know, I'd say, Lord, I do this a lot of time. I say, thank you, Lord, for this nice air-conditioned car. Lord, thank you for blessing me and my loved ones and taking care of my children when we're all so rebellious. And I say, oh, Lord, I love you. You know, just loving Jesus. And that's what the Lord likes. He gave it to you for that reason. He wants you to be fed to the full. Life more abundant, filled up and overflowing. But He wants you to glorify Him. That's what it's all about, folks. He is life. And to have life, you've got to contact Him and stay in touch with Him. If you don't do that, soon you'll find they're like the fattening hog. Let's sing this other chorus. I see these little ones. I appreciate mothers and daddies that love the Lord. Somebody said, well, it's so hot and I'm having to hold my baby. Oh, love apart. I think you hypocrite. Lay him down on the floor. I know what you're trying to do. The man of God's not got enough discernment to know what a mother's doing. She aggravates the baby so much the baby just whines and whines. She's wanting to get out of there. The thing to do is leave. Somebody said, well, I can't make it much longer. Set him down on the bed. Put her down on the floor. Take her up to the nursery. And let's sing a song. Give me another key, friend. Give me another one.
Well, I looked over the Jordan, and what did I see? Coming. Carry me home was a band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming too, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry. Sing it one more time. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming too, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Just one more time. Well, I looked over Jordan and what did I see? They're coming carry me home. Was the band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Again now, well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming too, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. All right. We're going to dismiss you and let you go home. I know that you're tired. I know that you're tired. The Lord is good. Isn't He good? Who is better than God? Who is good aside from God? Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. I think I'll ask Steve Floyd to come down tonight and dismiss us. Steve's a married man now. And saw him walking across the lot today. He had his Bible in his hand. And I could tell what he was thinking. You know, we need to do something for God, folks. We need to do something for God. I hope Steve will walk on with the Lord and really walk close to the Lord. God's got his hands on Steve for the ministry. And I hope that he will surrender his life. Many are called, but few are chosen. And I hope that he will surrender his life and make the conformity to be a real preacher. I mean, somebody that, not to hurt people, to lambast people, or to cut people. People are darling and precious. But one that won't compromise, that's got a backbone, that'll tell it like it is, and yet know the truth, know what he's saying. You know, that'd be so wonderful. We got some people here that God's got his hands on for the ministry, and I'd like to see God use them. But folks, let me tell you, the Bible teaches he that carrieth the vessels of God or beareth the vessels of God, the Bible said that man's got to be holy. Let him be holy. While others are frivolous and they just do any old way and they just act any old way, you can't do that. While the children just do whatever they want to do, parents have to stand up and they have to take care of the house and they have to make the bread. So then we have to learn, we have to grow, we have to become what the Lord wants us to be. So as Steve comes to dismiss you tonight, I want you to ponder just a little bit. Now tell me the truth. Aren't you really truthfully comfortable? Hallelujah. Is anybody joining me in that tonight? Let me see your hand. See, there are comfortable people in here tonight. I didn't tell it wrong, did I? What did it take to get like that? Wasn't it getting your mind on Jesus? Running the miserable devils off? You know, if you're going to fellowship miserable devils, you're going to be miserable. Isn't it right? Somebody say hallelujah. I can just tell the way you said it that you meant it. Say it again. Praise God. Say glory to God. See, there it is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Don't forget the services, folks. And remember now, before next Sunday night, well, next Sunday night, we'll be in Canada for the good Lord's will, preaching to the Indian folks up there. We was in Canada for years, even before Brother Walden ever got into that area. God sent us into that area to preach the gospel. And this particular place, I've been by this area, but I've never been in to minister to them. And there's great significance in us going up there. May the Lord bless you. Can you shut your eyes, lift your hands to God? While Steve comes to pray with you tonight, can you give reverence?